Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's another day. The Lord has kept us. Welcome to Favor Life on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. We have been on a series about the process of there, and even on this snowy day, we're still going to talk about the process of there and trying to understand how God used ordinary people, people that are unlikely to some folks, and he chooses them for his purpose and his plan, and he has this spectacular, wonderful process that takes us to the purpose of there, of what we were really created for, and he assigns his life, his power, his will, his authority, his promises, his blood to those things, and he makes those things manifest in our life, and we don't understand how he does it, but when we finish with it, it's something so wonderful, so great, that not only are our lives forever changed and blessed, but everything connected to us and everyone that we come in contact with are blessed because of God's promise, God's authority, and God's plan for us that is greater than anything that we could fathom or even imagine for ourselves. He's an awesome God who knows how to make sure that his purpose and his plan manifest in our lives in such an awesome way that no one can get the credit for it, no one can get the glory out of it except God. So we're seeing here that God has called Abraham, and he's called him out of his place of being a pagan worshiper, as we said before, and he calls him to a place that he separates him from everything that will ever try to war or come against the purpose of God. And we see this in the fact that his father dies, and then he separates him from Lot. And we understand that Lot was there, and he could not go and shift where he needed to be because there was something in Lot that warred against the promise of God for Abraham. And he could not take him to the place of there because he was not truly married to the vision that God had given him. And when you understand that, then you understand that there's some people we cannot get angry with, we cannot get discouraged within ourselves because they can't go with us to the place of there. They are not married to the vision. The only one that we see who goes to the very end with Abraham is his wife, Sarah, who is married to him in the natural, but I've taken it in the spirit realm. She was married to the vision of God because the promise was not just unto Abraham, it was unto her too. So she was married to the promise of God, and they see and allow God to take and shape them, rename them, and birth out of them a nation by one word. And he gives them promises that they never, ever, ever could imagine. And he backs it up with his word, and he performs it in their lives. And now he's fulfilled all that he said concerning them. But the word didn't stop there. It continues. It keeps going. It keeps moving. And we understand that as we look at Lot and the problem happened with Lot's herdmen and Abram's herdmen, and there was conflict. We see that Abraham, and I'm paraphrasing here, lets them know, say, listen, the land is great. In other words, the promise of God is so great. It is so wonderful. It's so big. There's no need for us to argue and fight over this. You choose where you need to go, and I'll choose where I have to go. And because God has said his word on me, it's going to happen. And we see that it manifests in the life of Abraham because God put his seal on that. And you don't have to ever wonder if God is going to do what he says, if he's called you to it, if he's given you that vision. If he's promised you something, then you can look for that thing to manifest in your life because God is faithful to do exceedingly abundantly far above what we ask and think or even imagine. Today, as we look at Abraham, we look at his life, and we look at where he's at, we see that God himself steps in and gives Abraham an unconditional promise and tells him what he will do. And this is what you have to understand. Now, this is all before Abraham has gone, started the process, and we're still dealing with the character of Abraham. We're still looking at him as a person. We're still looking at him as the individual who hears and responds to God, and all he's doing is using his faith and connecting to God, and God does something in him that he could never, ever imagine. So Abraham hears God, and God reveals to him what he's going to do in his life. He lets him know, I'm going to do these things for you, that you, all you have to do is trust me, and I'm going to bring my word to pass because I'm so big, I swore by myself. And I swore by myself, there's no one greater than me. And if I don't do what I said I was going to do in your life, then I'm going to change places with you. And you have to understand that God has spoken something in you and to you and shown you something concerning your life that no one can stop. And if he doesn't do it, then he says, I'm good enough and I'm gracious enough and I'm holy enough that I will change places with you and you will be God. And I will come down and be as you are. But God knows how to watch over his word, to perform his word. He watches over every detail to make sure that it happens in our life. And Abraham knew that God had to do what he said. God had to perform what he said because he could not lie and he could not fail. So we're here at this place where God is saying, I'm going to show you who I am and show you my greatness. And these are the things that I'm going to do in your life. And these promises are confirmation of God's legal covenant to Abraham. And that gives us the same assurance that whatever God has spoken concerning us, it's going to happen in our life. And we can't rush what God is doing. He has our times and our seasons in his hand. And there's some things that we think we're prepared for, and we're really not prepared for it. Abraham and Sarah could not have Isaac until the set time, until God had said, this is the time that I'm going to do it. There are certain things in your life, you are not going to get them before the time, before you're ready. Before God has said, this is what I expect, I've set up the stage, I've got everything in order, I've got everything purpose and plan, and even though I've told you some things and made known to you some things and revealed to you some things and showed you where I'm going to take you and what I'm going to do in your life, there are things that are set for an appointed time, and I'm getting you ready for the appointed time. All I'm doing is putting it in your ear so that you would hope and me and see where you're going. And know that your life is not for naught. But what I'm taking you to and what I'm going to perform in you is greater than anything else. And if you can get a glimpse of all that I'm saying and truly grasp it, then you'll be able to give birth to everything that I say. Then that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be able to see it. So we see that the promises of God are conformed, are basically here as legal covenant, and whatever he speaks to us, he's going to do it. We have got to stay in the place of perfect will. We've got to stay in the place of being submissive and obeying God and trusting him and allowing him to work through us his divine will. It also shows us there's a special relationship that God has with Abraham because God calls him friend. And we want God to have that kind of relationship. The Bible says that he calls us friend, but we want that intimate relationship with God. We want that relationship because you can have people that you call friends that you don't even talk to all the time. And when you see them, it's years in between, and you miss so much time. I don't want that kind of relationship with God. I want an intimate relationship where I'm talking to him every day, and he's telling me his mind and his heart, and I'm sharing with him my mind and my heart. And as I share my mind with him, I lose who I am, and I embrace who he is. But he also knows what I'm thinking, where I'm at. He already knows it anyway. But he wants me to say it to him so that we can share in this intimate place of relationship, and that I can understand and see that he's not this God that is trying to get me, that he's not this God that's trying to always just beat down on me, but he wants to have a covenant, intimate relationship as being a father, as being a loving father, and sharing and showing me things that my natural father could never do. My Heavenly Father is doing in my life. So he wants that type of relationship. And we've got to understand that whatever you had in the natural or didn't have in the natural, God always supersedes. But you've got to let him change how you perceive that Father for an image. Because sometimes we can have an image and it does not articulate who God really is. It does not show the attributes of who God is. So we always have to be in a place where we're teachable. Always at a place where we're saying, God, show me, teach me all over again. I know what I have in my mind. I know what I've been taught. I know what I've seen or encountered or experienced. But you supersede that. So show me again, teach me all over again what you want to show me in this relationship. So you've got to have that type of relationship so that God can be able to talk to you and share with you and show you his mind and his heart and even deal with you on places where he knows it's not pleasing him. So Abraham has this, and he embraces what God is saying. And we're going to deal with the promise right quickly before we move on, before time goes on. My time goes by so fast, and I want to give you this. God does some things when he says, I will. And when he says this to them, he speaks to them a promise. God says to them, I'm going to make you, Abraham and Sarah, the parents of a new people, and I'm going to make you be in the earth, the connection that is going to be vital to this release of these new people. And so he calls them. When God calls them, they just said yes because of the image and the voice and the power and the authority of God. God is calling you to something. And as he's calling you to something, it's going to be greater than where you are, where your parents are, where your people are, what you've encountered in your life, and it's going to bless many people. You've just got to get in the place that you stop second-guessing God's decision to choose you, that you stop wrestling against God's decision to choose you. Remember we said in another broadcast that you have to get to the place Abraham was not making excuses or arguing against God about who he was. He knew, God already knew who he was. He was a pagan worshiper. He knew, God already knew his track record, his life, the things that he was going to do or would not do, the failures and the successes, like his strong points and his weak points. He knew his heart and his mind. And you've got to stop wrestling with God about who you are. He already knows. And he paid the price. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why we read in the Word and we see there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because it was paid. And whatever condemning thing that the enemy would try to use against us because he's the accuser of the brethren, God has already paid for it. He's already the advocate of saying, God, show them, when you see them, look at me. See my hands, see my feet, see my side, see my head, see the stripes on my back. I paid the price for them that they could be not guilty. So the enemy will try, but you have to understand God has already settled the issue. And the argument that you have within yourself about God's call and God's choosing you has to be settled, because if it is not settled, you will never be able to truly the call of God for your life, where he wants to take you, and the process of there. You'll always be arguing. You'll always be warring against the promise instead of allowing this promise to settle it in your spirit, because you know you've got to give birth to this, and it's not by your works of righteousness that you've done anyway. It is according to his mercy. He's washed us. He's cleansed us and given us something brand new. So it is in him that it's going to manifest, not you. And you have to trust that and believe that. And we didn't get to the promises today. We'll do that tomorrow. But I want you to grab that word and understand that God is going to do it. And you've got to settle the issue within yourself and let the call of God find you and settle itself in you so that you can be all that God is. I thank you today for tuning in, for Favor Life. I pray that this broadcast is blessing you, that it is teaching you and showing you and shaping you. Until tomorrow, I pray the blessings of the Lord on you. Enjoy Favor Life that God has given to us. And we thank you so much. Be blessed of the Lord. And it's all about the King and him getting glory. To God be the glory. Amen.